Well, it is good to see everybody. It is good to be in, at least it's sunny California. I thought it was going to be warm California, but that's all right. As long as it's sunny, I'm okay. It's so great to be back here with our friends, the Thomases. Oh my goodness, we have just been friends for so long. You know, Brenda's younger than I am, and so I tell her what her future holds.
You are my mentor.
But we're kind of like the bling sisters, you know. We both like bling. And, of course, my husband and Mark, you know, like my husband was saying last night, on the basketball field, court, well, they're not friends, but after... but it's so good to be able to fellowship with those of like faith, right? And so it's good to be here. You know, I like to make a confession over my day. I am not a morning person. I'm really not awake. I'm a morning person when it comes to 2 o'clock in the morning. So I think that God just was, you know, to have me to speak in the morning sessions. Well, let's see. I've had my 3 cups of coffee, my Starbucks Frappuccino. So I'm already. But I like to make a confession. And this is a confession that I like to make. This is the day that the Lord hath made. And what are we going to do? Rejoice and be glad in it. And so when that alarm clock goes off, and I should have invented the snooze alarm. Because this sounds like I'm really old, but when I was younger, years ago, when I was a teenager, there were no snooze alarms, okay? But I created my own. I had 5 clocks by my nightstand. And so if I had to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, which normally I did have to go to school, my first alarm would go off at 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. And I would look at it. Whoa, I've got 3 more hours to sleep. And it would keep on going off till, you know, finally I would be awake. And I'll tell you what, when I got married, I drove my husband crazy with that kind of, you know, schedule and those kind of, but finally he got used to it. And so after a while, he would have his snooze alarm on and I would have my snooze alarm on and they were playing a duet, you know. But anyway, you know, so I always make the confession, hey, this is the day the Lord has made and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. And whatever comes my way today, I know that if I look to God, He's going to get me through. He's going to get me through. Well, a little bit about me, if you haven't heard me before. I grew up in a pastor's home, a Pentecostal pastor's home. Yes. Anybody from Pentecost? Yes. And you know, when you grow up in a minister's home, especially Pentecostal, it's not as glamorous as what you think, because it's like everybody's looking at the kids and criticizing the kids. And so the one thing that I learned as a young child, that in order to express my feelings of what I really wanted to express to that church member who was criticizing me, of which I couldn't, I could take all of my cares, all of my concerns to God, and He would help me to navigate through them. And so I learned from a very young child that my best friend was God. And I mean, from the time, back when I was in elementary school, well, you had these diaries, you know, and you would write in the diaries. And I found one of my diaries not very long ago, and I was reading through it, and it was about when I was in the 5th grade or 6th grade, and I was reading it. And when I was writing in that diary, all of a sudden, you know, the first two words might have been to diary, to dear diary, but the rest of it was to God. Because I was pouring my heart out to God, and he always gave me the answer. And so therefore, you know, my heart has always been in prayer, just naturally. But as the Lord began to lead and direct me in ministry, you know, it's like everybody usually has a concentrated place in ministry that's just where they shine. You know, like Pastor Mark was saying last night, Brenda just shines in prayer and joy. Well, you know, the two areas that the Lord just leads me in is prayer, as well as for each and every one of us to find the perfect plan that God has for us. And so we're going to be concentrating on that the next 2 days. I want us to turn to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Today we're going to talk about navigating the seasons of our life, or the seasons of the times. You know, in the natural, how you navigate every season of your life will determine whether you navigate it properly, whether you fight against it, whether you flow with it, whether you adjust. And that will cause you either to be totally dissatisfied with life or totally enjoying every natural season of your life. Do you remember when you were in elementary school? Oh my goodness. You know, we didn't realize how good we had it then. Didn't have a care. Didn't have to be concerned about paying bills. You know, we looked to our parents to do that. And then the teenage years came. Now, some of you guys may have enjoyed the teenage years, but I was glad when they passed. It was a frustrating time for me. I didn't like teenage years. I was ready to get on with my life, you know, and so I wanted those to hurry up and go. And then, you know, there's the newly married years. Oh, my goodness. Learning how to get along and live with someone else. Those can be fun times. They can be frustrating times, you know. But what do? You learn to adjust. Well, you should learn to adjust. You know, I mean, all of us in life, the one word that all of us need to do, and that is to be flexible. Amen. To be flexible. If you are not flexible in life, you are going to be miserable, and you are going to make everybody around you miserable. You know? And so then, you know, in the natural life, your children start coming and it's like us four and no more. And you enjoy those times, but all of a sudden they start growing up. They start spreading their wings. They start becoming independent. And if you're not careful, you want to cling to just the four of you or five of you or whatever. You want life to stay exactly as it was. Doesn't happen, guys. Doesn't happen. We learned when our kids got 16 in a car, it's like, bye-bye. Unless they needed money. You know, with my kids at 16, I put them on a budget. And they had chores and they, you know, they were rewarded for those, but they had a certain amount of money to spend. And I was not flattered when Friday night would be family night. But then when they got to be teenagers, they had their own night. And I really wasn't flattered when they decided to come with my husband and I on Friday night, because I knew they'd run out of money, you know, and they wanted to go with us to eat, which was fine. But anyway, then, you know, all of a sudden the kids are gone And let me tell you guys something. For those of you that have, your kids are not married yet. You know, when they get married, life will change for you. It is not the same. All right. But that's okay. You navigate a new season called the empty nest. I don't know why they called it empty nest syndrome. I thought it was empty nest freedom. Woo! You better enjoy it. Because the grandkids come along and then they want you to take care of them. So enjoy those times. But what I find is many times because couples have not continued their own personal relationship with each other, all of their attention was on the children, on the job, whatever. Then all of a sudden you find yourself living in a house with a perfect stranger. And it's like, oh, what do we do now? Well, what you do now is to enjoy the season while you still have energy to enjoy it. Amen. You develop new interest. Yeah. You know, and I knew that if we were going to have something that we did together, it was going to have to be sports, and I'm horrible at sports. If a ball comes toward me, I'm going to close my eyes and try to catch it. So I'm not going to go into details, but I decided to find the worst sport of my husband, and that was golf. And at least the ball went that way and didn't come toward me. You know, so we did that together. But you know what? This is how you become flexible, okay? I don't know why I'm saying this, but anyway, this will help you in your natural life. I said, okay, I'm going to play golf with you, honey, but we're going to play it by my rules. He said, okay, what's your rules? I said, well, you know, you take as many strokes as you want, but you just count the ones that you want to count. And if your ball doesn't go where you want it, you just throw it there or put it there. And at the end, you just make up a score that you like. Hey, it's fun, guys. This is just for fun and relaxation. You know, one time I was actually playing, my husband wasn't playing with, there was a threesome, and he had gone with a foursome with somebody, and now I'm in a threesome with this guy that, oh my goodness, he's serious about his golf. Now, I'm not even keeping score, so I'm not, you know, I'm not a part of it. And so I don't like water. I mean, water, ugh, my head just tells me my ball is going to go in that water. And so I went up to, here was the tee box, but I went to as far as I could go, you know, and I started to hit that ball. And this guy said, you can't do that. I said, watch me. Frustrated him. He could not play a good game the rest of the game, but I had fun. You know, you need to relax. Anyway, navigating the different seasons of our life. Well, you know, just as in the natural, we need to do that. Also in the spiritual, we need to recognize the seasons that we're living in. Matthew 24. The disciples, Jesus was about to leave, and the disciples were saying, and he was talking about the signs of the times. And so they said, well, you know, how are we going to know this? And in verse 3, starting with verse 3, and this is in the King James Version, says, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. So the signs of the times that we are living in, we need to look at. Take heed, as Jesus said, that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, I know I really haven't seen this in recent days that I know of. But, I mean, there have been in past that, oh, goodness, there would be feathers floating, you know, blood appearing, deceiving many, thinking that this was signs of the Lord when it really wasn't. When it really wasn't. So we need to look at and be aware of and judge things, not people, but things. Verse 6 says, "And ye shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places." Now, I know you guys know about earthquakes, but you know what? In Oklahoma, we thought we were safe from earthquakes. So we, you know, we believed against tornadoes because we knew about tornadoes and were devastated about tornadoes, but we didn't know about earthquakes until recently. And oh my goodness, one night I was just walking down the hall of my house, and all of a sudden I felt I have a tile floor, and I felt it moving, and I felt a rumbling that, you know, the only sound I had heard of rumbling was a tornado. And I thought, what on earth is going on? Well, my husband had been in Taiwan, where they have earthquakes all the time. He said, "That's an earthquake." And I thought, oh my goodness, this is horrible, you know? But there will be, it's the signs of the times. Signs of the times. And he said, "All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." You know, and when I would read about persecutions in the Bible and people being beheaded and things, I'm thinking, yeah, I know we're going to be persecuted, but not in that way. Wrong again. It's been several years ago now, but a person came into a company, and it was an Islamic, and beheaded a Christian. It's happening, guys. It's happening. I'm telling you what, we have to be aware of these things, and we have to claim the promises of God that He will protect us. He will protect us. You know, I taught my children the 91st Psalm, and I said, listen, you call on the 91st Psalm all the time. If you don't know what the 91st Psalm says, you better learn it. No evil shall overtake you. No plague shall come nigh you. And with long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. I know one time one of Denise's, actually she was a staff member, and Denise said, well, you just need to claim the 91st Psalm of that. And she said, what does the 91st Psalm say? Denise said, you don't know what the 91st Psalm says? Well, listen, she said, I have heard that almost daily from the time I was born. It is a promise to us, and we need to claim those promises. It says, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. Once again, you know, I always say it this way. If someone gives you a word, even if they're not a false prophet, if it does not agree with what you already have in your spirit, throw it away. Throw it away. Don't, once again, judge the person, but judge the word. You know, in the Old Testament, you know, they were guided by prophets because the Holy Spirit had not come. But in the New Testament, we have the Holy Spirit as our guide. Each and every one of you have the Holy Spirit as your guide. And so you need to look on the inside And let the Holy Spirit be your guide, and only let that be a confirmation. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But here's the promise. He that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. Amen. So how we need to endure, right? Amen. You know, even though these things are coming, wars, rumors of wars, people falling away. Hey, we are the enduring ones. How can we be the enduring ones? I want to tell you what, if you will stand on every promise that God has for you in this book, you shall not only endure, but you shall endure with joy and enthusiasm. Because God has promised that to us. Verse 14, and the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now, you say, oh, okay, well, that's all about preachers. That's you know, their assignments. I hold your finger there because we're going to come back to there. But let's go over to Mark 16. Mark 16. If you don't know the Great Commission, you need to know the Great Commission. Once again, this is in the King James Version. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, this is where I want to get to, because this is your assignment, okay? This is your assignment. And these signs shall follow the preachers. That's not what it says? I think some people think that's what it says. No. And these signs shall follow what? Them that what? Believe. Them that believe. Are you a believer?
Yes.
All right. Guess what? Woo! Signs are going to follow you.
Amen.
Signs are going to follow you. It says, in my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the what? And they might recover. Maybe they'll recover. What are they going to do? They shall recover. Do you realize that each and every one of you, if you're a believer, you have assignments from God?
Amen.
The Great Commission. You have a world before you that me, my husband, pastors, you know, will never reach. Will never reach. You may be the only Christian that somebody knows, and it is your responsibility to lead them to Christ.
Amen.
To lead them to Christ. We are all supposed to be disciples. Listen, there is a hurting world out there, and I will tell you what, there is no country that needs to be evangelized any more than the United States of America.
Amen.
I'll tell you, I've been so concerned. Oh my goodness. With the people in the United States that don't believe in God. They're lost. They're dying. They're going to go to hell. If someone does not give them the truth and bring them into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? If you don't have a passion for the lost, you need to ask God to give you that passion. You need to ask God to give you that passion, compassion, because That's what we're here for. You know, as Christians, we're not here just to have a good time, just to bask in the presence of God, of which we do. We come to church and we do that. But we are here to win the lost. To win the lost. Exciting things happen when people are healed. The easiest way to get somebody saved is somebody that needs healing, and you lay hands on them.
Amen.
I know many years ago, in church, my husband was preaching about, hey, go and minister to your world. And so one of our church members gave a testimony. I was trying to find it to give it exactly the way. Oh, here it is right here to give it the way he did. And this person, he's a very evangelistic person anyway. You know, I mean, some people, they're just naturally good at going out personal evangelism. And he's the kind that would get in somebody's face and ask them, do you know Jesus is your Lord? And if they said no, he'd say, well, now you're going to hell. And he's just that bold. And so as my husband was encouraging the people to go out and evangelize, this testimony came in. He said, 2 weeks ago, I was out with a friend that was a part of the School of the Bible class that he was in. And he said, we were seeing a late movie at the theater. A couple came over and sat down behind us and was cussing like a storm. He said, I had not heard that word used so much in a long time. So I had just turned around and began talking to them. I mentioned Rhema, and at that particular time, he actually worked for us as well. I mentioned Rhema is the place I work, and they immediately said they were not interested in religion. So I said to them, neither are we. I know of three kinds of people, those who do not know God at all, those who know him but know very little, and us. We are the extremist in God. You know, if it had been me, I would have thought, oh my goodness, Marty, quit talking so bold. But you know what? The Holy Spirit knows how to get to the people that need to be gotten to. He said, we cast out devils, command cancers to leave people's bodies, and they do. And we just get happy in the Holy Ghost. She immediately asked if they could go to church with us on Sunday. And not only did they come to church, they brought friends with them, and they all received Christ as their Savior. All received Christ as their Savior. And so he gave that testimony. And when he did, something in my heart, just a longing, I said, God, most of my world is around saved people.
Yeah, it's true.
I said, I work with them. I'm at church with them. I don't encounter very many people that don't know Christ as their Savior. And so I said to God, you know, I love this. God, bring somebody across my path that I can witness to. But God, listen, I'm not like Marty. I said, my personality is not bold like that. I'm not going to be one that goes and finds somebody and say, you know, do you know Christ? It is just not me. That is not the kind of personal evangelism that I can do personally. And so I said, God, bring somebody to me. Bring somebody to me. I'm telling you what, God will answer your request. And so, you know, I kind of put that on the shelf because I'm kind of used to God being slow in answering my prayers. He's kind of got me on the 20-year plan. I guess he thinks I need patience. But anyway, kind of put that on the shelf. And it was during that week, my son said to me, Mom, I need to talk to you about some things. And I said, well, son, I'll tell you what. I'm really busy this week. I don't have much time. And so if you need to talk to me about something, you're going to have to go to lunch with me today. And I've only got a few minutes, about 15 minutes for lunch. So you're going to have to talk fast. He said, okay. So I'm one of these organizers, you know, that get everything done. I'm multitasking. And so we drove up to Arby's, and which was very close to where we work and to the church. And so I said, what do you want? You let me out. I'll go order. And by the time you get in, we'll have our order. We'll hurry and eat because we both eat fast and we'll have our meeting. So he said, okay. He's used to me giving orders. And so I did, went up with in mind, man, we're going to hurry. I'm going to answer his questions, whatever. Went and ordered. And then right over here were the drinks. So I'm over here getting our drinks when I hear a voice saying, Lynette Hagen. And you know how you can tell by a tone of a voice? And the tone of the voice sounded to me like somebody that I had known from the past. And I'm looking around because I'm thinking, oh my goodness, they may have seen me on TV and they may have seen my aging process, but I may haven't seen their aging process and I might not recognize them. So I'm looking for somebody in my past that trying to recognize them when I see no one. And so all of a sudden, I don't even know where that voice is coming from. And so all of a sudden, they say this, you don't know me, but I know you. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, this is a kook, you know, and a kook, a kooky person. And so I locate the voice, and it was a person behind the counter. Actually, they weren't taking the order, but they were behind there. And so she said, yeah, I've seen you on television. And I thought, oh, my goodness. You know, I can't be interrupted today. I've got assignments today. And so, you know, the spiritual person that I was, I went to the very back of that restaurant and put my back against anybody that could come to where I was. Because I had assignments. I didn't need to be interrupted, you know. I don't have much time. So Craig and I sit there and we're eating and we're having this meeting when all of a sudden, you know how you can feel somebody in your back? And I feel somebody in my back and they're like over here across from us and they're just cleaning this table and cleaning this table and cleaning this table. And I'm looking this way so that I don't look over there, so that somebody doesn't talk to me, because I'm thinking, oh, they're going to just start asking questions or something. I don't have time for this. All right. So we keep on. We finish our meeting. And all of a sudden, I feel this person, this lady just creeping up and comes and stands right in front of our table. I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. You know, she's persistent. I'm going to have to acknowledge her. And so I looked up. I didn't say anything because really I was kind of so shocked that she was that bold. When I looked up, this is what she said. I have a problem. Can you help me? Oh, my goodness. My mind went back to that Sunday that I had said, God, I'm not bold. Bring somebody across my path that I can minister to. I'm telling you what, I'm thankful for God for silent prayers, because I had to quickly ask for forgiveness for being so insensitive that God had brought somebody across my path that needed help, and I almost missed the opportunity. And so she was telling me the short of that long story. She was telling me that she wants new Christ. But she had problems with alcohol. She had problems with drugs. She had problems with everything. And she said, I just need help. I just need deliverance. Well, guess what? I started having to say, God, you know, help me to know what to say. Here, I've got a fish on the line, but I've got to reel it in the proper way. Or this fish could get off the hook. And that's so important that, you know, when you catch a fish, listen to the voice of God as to your next step. And as I began to talk to her, and I realized that she needed more help than just what I could do right then. And so I said, listen, you know where Rhema is? And she said, yes. And I said, well, you need to come on Sunday morning. We have a class that you need to go to, and that's going to help you in your walk with the Lord. Something on the inside said of me, she's saying yes, but she won't come. And so I said, as I was hearing the Holy Ghost, I said, listen, I'm going to have somebody call you. And there, because I was trying to tell her where it was, I said, and they're going to meet you, and they're going to make sure that you are there. Like I say, the short of that long story, she came, rededicated her life to God, got filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. But I could have lost that fish. And so we are to go into our world and be sensitive to those around us. And I will tell you what, there is no greater way to minister and get people to be accepted to the things of God is when they're hurting. When they're hurting. So be sensitive. And listen, there will be times that usually the people that are hurting the most will never tell you. And you have got to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost to recognize that. And to ask the Holy Spirit, you know, what you need to say. How you need to minister, because you are there to help heal the brokenhearted, to lead them to the one that can heal their broken heart. That can be their healer. That can be their deliverer. That can be everything that they need to live an abundant life. And so we are to go into the world and preach the gospel. Now, and so this gospel shall be preached to all nations. Then, verse 34 says, in Matthew 24, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. No one knows when God is going to look over to the Son and say, Son, go gather my people home. Little funny story about my youngest grandson. This was when I think he was about five. He's 12 now. He was about five, and my husband's mother had passed away, and so he, that was the only grandparent on my husband's side that he knew, because he was born after my father-in-law passed. And so in children's church, they were talking about, you know, the coming of Jesus. And he was so curious about, well, when's he going to come? And so he was asking his mother, Mother, now when's Jesus going to come? And, you know, she goes, nobody knows, da, 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 da. Well, this little boy, I'm telling you, the things that he thinks are remarkable. And so he says to her, Mom, I got an idea. And she said, what? Wesley, he said, listen, why don't you email Meemaw? That's what they called my husband's mother. Why don't you email Meemaw and have her to ask God, because now she's gone on to heaven, have her to ask God when Jesus is coming back. And so Denise said, Wesley, we can't email Meemaw. She's in heaven. And he said, well, don't they have internet connection in heaven?
That's great. I love it.
Kids don't even know. In fact, they were asking their mother, well, if you didn't have iTunes, how did you listen to music? Oh, this generation. They don't know about the good old days, do they? But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days they were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Here's our instructions. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come, but know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now, you know, I don't hear as much about prophecy as I used to when I was growing up. That, I mean, all the ministers, they were doing Bible prophecy and who's going to be the Antichrist and da, 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 da. And all of them were all wrong. And even back then, I was really bored with it. And the reason I was, because I'm thinking, we can't do anything about it. Let's concentrate on the things that we can do something about. It's like, you guys are all just speculating. You have no idea what's really going to happen. But the one instruction that we all need is, be ye also ready, for you don't know when he's going to come back. We need to stay ready at all times. And I'll tell you what, we're living in a generation that if we're not careful, people are going away from God instead of to God. To God. We need to be ready. Now, what are some other things that we need to do? Chapter 25 says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there not be enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for themselves, for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know ye not. Watch ye therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour where the Son of Man cometh. We need to keep our oil burning. What is oil a representative of? The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. We need to keep that in us at all times. We need to stay on fire for God at all times. You know, it's kind of like my husband and I, we've been married 51 years. Now, I will tell you what, you have to keep kindling that oil, that fire in marriage even. Or that can go out. You know, I mean, we love each other more now than we did when we got married. And we sure get along better now than when we got married. We're better friends now. You start thinking alike. But I'll tell you what, it did not come easy. It took work. The same way in your Christian walk with God. You can't let the fire of the Holy Ghost go out. You've got to keep that joy. You've got to keep that enthusiasm. You've got to keep that love for God. You've got to keep on seeking Him, communing with Him. And I'll tell you what, as you commune with Him, as you get closer to Him, He'll get closer to you. Oh my. And I'll tell you what, He'll start giving you so many instructions. And I'll tell you, life will be easier. He'll help you navigate your life. He should be the very first person that you go to in any situation. And so we need to keep our oil burning. And then, what else do we need to do? Oh my goodness. We got to use our talents for God. And it's like, okay, Lynette, you could have preached all day and not talked about that. Verse 15 and chapter 25. And unto one, wait, let's see. Verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country and delivered unto them, and who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2. And to another one, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made another 5 talents. And likewise, we know what happened with the 2. But the one that received 1, he went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And so we know what happened after a time, and for sake of time, because I want to pray, for sake of time, we know what happened, that the one, they brought their talents, and the 2 had multiplied their talents, but the 1 had hid it. And so in verse 25, it says, and I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have at least put my money in exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And most people stop there, but I'm going to go to the next verse. And says, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's a serious indictment, guys. I mean, it's a real serious indictment. That's not my indictment. That's what the Word says. Oh, my. God has given us talents, and we need to use them for Him. We need to use them. And I want to tell you what. There is such joy when you give and when you use your talents in the church. I'll tell you what, there is so much joy to see the benefits from that. You know, one of the places that people just, oh man, we need, you know, the pastor will say, we need children's volunteers, and everybody hides under their seat. Well, I don't want to go and play with those kids. Well, you're not playing, you're teaching them, first of all. And I want to tell you, oh my, what? You're talking about a world that will be a productive world to put into those little kids the things of God that they will not question, that will build a foundation for them in the years to come. I am so thankful for the adults that volunteered when I was a child, that put those things in me that now keeps me standing when the devil is trying to knock me down. And I want to tell you what, every reward that I receive, they're going to receive a more reward because they had a part in my life. In my life. And you know what? Those kids know if you love them or not. I know I love the kids. But you know, sometimes they can be a little frustrating. One Sunday I was working with the two-year-olds, and they can really be frustrating, you know. I was working with the two-year-olds, and this one little girl, she was a real challenge, always. But I was able to manage most of the time, except this one Sunday when I hadn't had a lot of sleep, I wasn't feeling well, and my patience was a little bit not there. But, you know, I'm good at hiding those things because I've had to all my life. You know, I'm pretty professional about it. And I can smile and say hi when I don't want to, you know. And you might not ever know that I didn't want to say hi to you. But anyway. But anyway, let me tell you, kids are more sensitive than adults. So I'm being my normal self. You know, on the outside, but on the inside, I'm not. It's like, oh, this little girl today, she is really, you know, on my last little nerve. That's what I'm thinking, but I'm being really kind and really nice. And so I'm working with her, and all of a sudden she looks up at me, and this is what she says: "You don't love me today." I'm thinking, oh, my Lord. God, you told her my mind. I'm telling you, that precious one comes. Well, now she's in another city most of the time, but before she went to college, she came every Sunday at the door and hugged my neck. And to see her grow in the things of God and see what she's accomplishing for God, you want to know what joy it has brought to my heart? Because I had a part in that child's life. And so, you know, never belittle working with children. You'll receive more reward for that than many, many other things. And last but not least, before we pray, Matthew 7, verse 21. And this is what I want as we're praying today. I want you to pray. Let me find this in my... No, that's not it. Matthew 7, verse 21 says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Once again, the will of God for our life. Not our will, but his will. And it's so, I want to read this in the Message Bible. It says, "Knowing the correct password, saying master, master, for instance, isn't going to get you anywhere with me. What is required is serious obedience, doing what my Father wills. I can see it now at the final judgment. Thousands strutting up to me and saying, master, we preached the message. We bashed the demons. Our God-sponsored projects had everyone talking. And do you know what I'm going to say? You missed the boat. All you did was use me to make yourselves important. You don't impress me one bit. You're out of here." Wow. That's not good. I don't know about you, but I want to follow God's will for my life. He has a plan for every one of our lives, and we'll get into that tomorrow. He has a plan for every one of our lives. But right now, I want us to stand up. I want us to connect with God. I want, you know, you may be thinking that you are on God's plan, but maybe you've taken a detour, or maybe you've been too slow. Maybe he wants to progress you and you keep on holding back. I know how that is. Sometimes when God is trying to stretch you, we don't want to be stretched. We don't want to be stretched. Maybe there is a, somebody, there's a job opportunity. There's a job opportunity in the business world, and you've been afraid to step into that because you felt like that you didn't have the ability or the talents to do what they're asking you to do. God's saying, go ahead and step in. Go ahead and step in. For that you are not equipped for, I shall equip you supernaturally. And you shall be blessed, super and abundant above all that you could ask or think, if you'll just step in and take that step. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you ready to connect with God? And let him talk to you. Let's do that right now. I'm going to make this an altar. You can come. You can make your chair an altar. You can stand. You can walk. However you connect with God. But let's connect with God right now. Oh, Father, we just come to you.